My wife said that background might be a little busy. I think I was thinking of deer hunting when I designed that. But joy. We're going to start an 8-week series in October on joy, finding joy in the midst of our life struggles and challenges and confusions and experiences. And it's a study of Philippians. So it's a, you know, like a line by line, period by period study of 8 weeks through that. Now we're starting a 4-week series today entitled 30 Days to Live. And what if you learned you only had 30 days to live? How much would that make a difference in your life? Is it possible to make the most out of every day right now? And I'd like you to come join us. If you really apply these things to your life, it'd change your life. It's all part of this process that I was telling you when I was in chemotherapy and stem cell infusion. I realized that I wasn't really as peaceful about dying as I thought I was going to be. And so I thought, well, I'm going to study and seek God's wisdom and ask for your help and work through this. And we talked for 4 weeks about dying. Now we're going to talk about living. And how I'm going to do that is four different messages. Today we're going to talk about living in the morning.
Morning.
Living in the moment. And then we're going to talk about eternal perspectives. And then we're going to talk about leave a legacy. And then we're finally going to talk about fighting for peace. And I want to get to the peace part, because that was the problem that I experienced down south. But as with a lot of things with God, you can't get to the end without going through the process. So it's the whole process. So today is living in the moment. And if you think about that, what does it mean to you to live in the moment? Be happy. Yeah. So how are you living your life is the question. You know, are you really living your life? The goal in the rest of this year, not only this series of messages, but the joy messages, is to bring us a full way of living that's biblically based. So do you know what Wednesday, November 5th is of 2025? At that time, I will have lived to be 74 years, 7 months, and 4 days, and that, based on the death clocks that are on the World Wide Web, is when I'm going to die. How many of you knew there were death clocks on the web that you could go to? I see the young people do back there. How many do you think there are? When you Google death clocks, how many do you think show up? Guess. There are 100,000 websites to figure out when you're going to die. And some of them are really cool. You can download these apps to your iPhone, and it's a countdown clock. You can put them on your desktop. Some of them calculate it for you in seconds. And when you can look at your phone and know how many more seconds or days you have to live. I thought that would be cool, and I picked one of them, and I was going to download it. And my antivirus software says, you do not want to download this. This is going to make your computer really sick and maybe die. So, but, you know, I was curious, so I went on. And it's funny because I did like 3 of them. And you put in all this information, how old you are, whether you smoke. I know what my body mass index is now. My body mass index is 22, which is really good. But you got to figure out all this health stuff, and you plug it in there. I did 3 of them, and all of them were within just days of each other. So it basically means I got 15 years to get done whatever I'm going to get done. If you only had 30 days to live, what is the one thing that you would do? I was in a VA waiting room the other day, and some of the stories they tell in the VA waiting rooms I can tell you, and some of the stories that the veterans tell you I can't tell you in the pulpit. But there was a story, this guy went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you're real sick, and you got a real problem, and I need to talk to your wife privately. So the guy left the room, and the doctor said to his wife, now, your husband's really sick, and, you know, here's what needs to happen. If for the next 6 to 8 months you will prepare him 3 meals just like this, and if for the next 6 months you'll be intimate with him in the morning and the evening, In 6 to 8 months, he's going to be fine. But that's what needs to happen. And the wife says, okay, you can call my husband back in. Husband came in and she says, honey, you're going to die. So, what is the one thing you would do if you knew you're only going to live the next 30 days? Can you think of one thing that you know you would get done if you only had 30 days left? Now, Jackie and I were talking, and, you know, I know of a woman who, like Jackie, had a problem with breast cancer and did the double mastectomy thing, did the chemotherapy thing, thought everything was fine, and 2 years later they find out this stuff was hiding behind her breastbone. And they didn't give her 30 days. A couple young kids, husband, loves the Lord, serving the Lord, 15 days, you're done, dear. If that's you, what's the one thing you would do? Do you think of one thing? What are you waiting for? Why wait? You know, there's no guarantee any of us is going to make it home from here. Last Sunday, Julie and I were motorcycle riding, and I got to watch a young man trash his rice rocket literally right in front of me. Fortunately, Julie was looking the other way. I was the first one to get to his shaking, trembly, bloody body in the ditch and you know, talk to him and keep him from going into shock till the paramedics came. And, you know, there's no guarantee that you got another day. Why not live life like there isn't all that time? So, if you only had 30 days to live, what effect would it have on the things that you do? See, there's stuff that comes into our life every day. Oh, you could do this, you could do that. You know, should I go to this appointment? Should I keep that social engagement? You know, if you only had 30 days to live, you'd probably scrutinize those things a little differently, wouldn't you? Why not set that up as a grid of how you figure out what you're going to do? If it's just wasting time, why waste it? You don't have that much time left. Do you generally tend to live in the past or in the present, or are you one who tends to live in the future? So if you're thinking about your lunch right now, you live in the future. There's some people here who are worried about their lunch burning because the preacher's going to run over. Right? Or where they're going to go for lunch. They're thinking about the future. There's people who live in the past. And what happened to them in the past affects their life every day. Or do you live in the present? Now, where does God live? Does God live in the past? Does God live in the present? Or does God live in the future? All of the above. Where he is the ever-present now. Everything that ever happened and ever will happen is all happening all at once. Cool. I can hardly wait to get there. Wouldn't it be awesome? Be able to experience all of that all at the same time. God lives in the present, the ever-present now. So, here's our key verse for the month. It's from Psalms 39, verse 4 and 5. Try to read it with me. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeting away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. The entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human experience is but a breath. See, when I think about that, I want God to remind me how long I have, right? How big of an expanse my life is, and how long it's going to last. I don't really think about that the same way. How do you think about life? Do you think about it like that? Who do you think has a better idea, you or God? See, when you think about it in that terms, well, of course God has a better idea. My life's just a breath. It's no wider than the width of my hand. He's probably looking at it like this, not like that. It doesn't last very long. In Ecclesiastes 7:4, it says, a wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. So when you look at that passage, how do you normally think? Do you think a lot about dying? Or do you think a lot about having a good time today? Based on that verse, are you a wise person or foolish? A or B? Most people I know are foolish. They don't think about death as a reality. They just think about having a good time. Right? Here's a long one from James 4, 13 through 17. We just studied James a few minutes ago in God's economy. Now listen, you who thinks or says, today, tomorrow, we'll go to this city and spend a year there. We'll carry on business, make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Your life, you are a mist. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone who knows good they ought to do and doesn't do it is sin. It says, anyone who knows the good they ought to do and they don't do it is sin. So, here's the turning points on the back of your outline. 3 points. First of all, we want to turn when into now. Turn when into now. And I'm going to encourage you over the rest of this year to live right now. Live in the present. Live in the moment. It says in Psalms 118, 24, this is the day the Lord has made. He lets us rejoice and be glad in it. As you turn when into now, be glad in the moment that you have. So what is your biggest when, then, or if only? See, all of us have these. When such and such, then that happens. If only it was like this. Now be really honest with yourself and identify how you're missing the moment by hoping for some event in the future or allowing some trauma in the past to control your life. When I get married, well, then I'm going to be happy and I'm going to do this. And I've counseled for 20 years and it often ends up, when I get divorced, then I'm going to be happy and then I'm going to do this. Rather than living in the present, there. When I get the right home, then I'm going to start inviting people over. And then when I get my home organized, I'm going to start Bible studies. And when I get the right thing organized, then I'm going to do that. No, turn that when into now. If only we were out of debt, then we'd be able to tithe regularly and we'd be able to give to God's work. And No. Take a portion of what you're doing now. Don't wait till then to do it. Do it now. When the kids grow up, then I'm going to finally have time to invest in my husband again. But right now, the kids take all my time, all my energy, all my effort. I don't have any time for my husband right now. But when the kids grow up, then I'm going to have time. And I counsel people all the time. He may not be there, honey, by the time you get around to it. You better pay attention to him now. Or when I get to my retirement, then I'm finally going to take the time to do this, that, or the other. And I had an 80-some-year-old guy sitting in my living room the other day. He said, boy, I thought when I got to retirement I was going to do this, but I'm so tired and I hurt so bad, I don't even think I'm going to get to do. Don't wait till you get to then. It seems like just yesterday I was 20. The other day my son-in-law brought a movie to my house. It was the Transformers. And so we were watching the Transformers, and Optimus Prime is being parachuted out of the back of this jet. And Optimus Prime is a big Mack truck. And as we were watching that, my daughter says, Dad, how many times did you do that? And I said, you mean chase my vehicle out the back of a jet? 3. But we'd hook all of these vehicles together in a jet. They're all in neutral. And at a command from the sergeant at the back of the jet, you'd pull the wheel chucks out and you'd grab a hold of the steering wheel and they'd throw one parachute out and it would pull the first vehicle out and then yours would all start rolling down the back of this Jeep and you, or the back of the jet. You'd walk along and steer it because you got to hit the hole. And then eventually you and the vehicle would get to this diving board several thousand feet in the air going several hundred miles an hour and you're vehicle would go out, you'd jump out after it, its parachute would open, and your parachute was open, and you'd chase it to the ground. It's really fun doing that when you're practicing, because nobody's shooting at you. I mean, there's jets flying around and attack helicopters flying around, but when you really do it, there's bad guys shooting at you, and there's bad jets in the air and bad helicopters. But she says, how many times did you do that? And I said, I did that 3. And my son-in-law says, well, how many times did you walk out the back of a jet and just dive off like an idiot? And I said, 20-some. It seems like just the other day I was doing stuff like that. But really, it's 40 years ago. You know? But in some ways, it just seems like yesterday. When I wake up in the morning and I have places that my shoulder hurts from getting drug into a tree stump on a parachute, I think, oh yeah, that seems like just yesterday I did that. But it goes real fast is the point. It doesn't last. Steel Mill Joe was a guy that I worked with at the steel mill. He says, when I retire, I'm going to do this. And I worked with him for 20 years and he retired. And then a couple days later, seems like somebody came in and, well, Steel Mill Joe died. And he didn't get to do all the stuff that he was waiting to do when he get to retire. Don't do it. Don't wait. I've always wanted to be such and such. You know? Well, be that now. Don't wait. Well, I've always wanted to share my faith. And I'm going to do that when. Or I'm going to do that if. Don't do it now. Don't wait. So, yeah, I'll get to that is something I say all the time. The Proverbs 27:1 says, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what that day will bring forth. Don't put it off. Do it now. So, how could one live in the now? I mean, practically, how could you do that? Here's how you can do it. Wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. So if you're talking with your wife, look at your wife, listen to your wife, pay attention to your wife, don't be thinking about something else. You're having breakfast with your kids. And I used to say, put the newspaper down. Now I observe that the young guys are sitting there with their laptop at breakfast. It's the one time they're going to get to be with their kids all day, and they're on MSN, right? No, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. My wife asked my children not that long ago, well, did it bother you that Dad was gone all the time? And they say, what? Well, yeah, he was working 56 hours. He was building the house. He was a full-time student. He was in the Army's National Guard. He was gone every other weekend playing Army. He was gone a lot. And they said, no, he wasn't gone. Dad was always there. Now, why was Dad always there? Because when I was there, I was there. Does that make sense? I was all there. I was all into whatever they were doing. I was the idiot in the stands that was spilling my popcorn at the basketball game. And my son would say, Dad, you don't have to get into it that much. But now when he and I goes to the Bears game and I spill my popcorn, he doesn't mind. Right? But wherever you are, be all into there. Whatever you're into, do that right now. Don't be doing mentally something else. Does that make sense? Live where you are, when you are, and then when you get to the next thing, do the next thing. But can you see what I'm saying? That will turn when into now. Here's the second point. Turn your intentions into actions. Turn your intentions into actions. Anyone who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. If you intend to do it, don't put it off. Do it now. Do I put things off? Well, yeah. In Proverbs 3:27, it says, do not withhold the good from the ones who deserve it. When it's in your power to act, don't say to your neighbor, oh, come back tomorrow. When you got it then, give it then. Give it to them then. How many of you know what that is? That's a good intention right there. Do you see that the front door looks kind of funny on that picture? Kind of odd looking, isn't it? 2 months ago, I talked to the board about moving the front door about 7 foot forward and putting a handicap ramp that runs up this side of the church and comes in. There's a door right where that window is. And a handicap can roll. The greeters will be down what is now sidewalk. That'll be the new entry area. And you come in and you can either roll a ramp up to that doorway or you can roll a ramp down to the cellar door, which is going to get improved immensely. It's a great intention. And I got ideas, and I meant to get over to Specialized Construction and get some estimates on how much it's going to cost. And you know what happened? I got good intentions, but I haven't got it done yet. The three things that I need to accomplish around here is I need to get a functional, food-worthy kitchen. I need to get handicap access, and I need to develop classrooms for our education. Now, Dan and I are going to go buy wood to start on the kitchen as soon as the crops are in. And I'm going to get some estimates on that. And I'm still working on how to come up with educational things. But there are things that I intend to do that are good things to do, but I just got to get off of my backside and get at them. So, what is it that God has put on your heart to do that you haven't done yet? What is it? Maybe there's somebody who doesn't know Christ, and you intend to share it with them. Well, hunt through the track rack back there and find something. Get started. Get at it. Or encourage someone. Maybe there's a family member. In February of 2009, when I was going to Texas and I was pretty sure that I was going to die and not come back, I got together with family members. And I hugged my sons and I told them how proud I was of them. And I did a lot of that. Encouraging someone that I love. But why do you have to wait till you're going to die? Why not take your daughter-in-law out for lunch now and tell her what a great job she's doing putting up with that brat that you raised? You know, it ain't easy. Maybe go on a mission trip. France. Woohoo! You know, why not? You say, well, someday I'm going to do that. Start planning today. Go someplace warm in the winter. Is there someone who hurt you? Someone maybe that you hurt and you need forgiveness. I put these. One of my really good friends, one of the wisest men I know, my mentors, wrote this tract, Forgiving and Being Forgiven. I put them out there next to the guest registry. Grab one of them. If somebody hurt you, deal with it now. If you did something to somebody else, take one of those. Deal with it now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. So, one of the biggest things we're told to improve our health is to reduce stress level, right? Drink more water, exercise, reduce your stress, right? There's like five things, stress level. When Julie's mom, Eva, would get a bill in the mail, when do you think she'd go get the checkbook? Right then. When you get a bill, when do you pay it? Which is better? For your credit score, to pay your bills early or to pay them late? Oh, yeah, it's a lot better to pay them late. Put it off, and then you can worry about it, right? Wonder, when you pay a bill and it's done, where's the stress level about it? It's gone. You get that, do it. Don't put it off, and then you wake up in the middle of the night. Oh, my gosh, when does that do? Just do it. Lower your stress level. What if you live like that? Rather than put the stuff off that you need to do, just get it done. You'd have less stress in your life. Last turning point, or most important one. Number three, turn your whole heart to Jesus. Turn your whole heart, is your blank, to Jesus. In Mark 25:28, there's a story that some teachers of the law asked him, of all the commandments, Jesus, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O church, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, that's more important than all the burnt offerings, all the sacrifices there are. And Jesus' response was, Jesus said to him, you answered wisely, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Not far. But he's not in. Is that you? See, the problem with most of us is we give Jesus a part of us. We had a young lady share earlier that her life was compartmentalized and Jesus had a part, right? Did you pay attention? Hear that? What about you? Has he just got a part? Do you intend to get a flu shot this year? How many of you? When you get a flu shot, do you get the whole thing or just a little bit? You just get a little bit, right? Hopefully so you don't get the whole schmear. Well, is that the way you're living with Jesus? I'll just get a little flu shot. I'll just do a little Sunday gig. It's Wednesday. I'll put my WWG's bracelet on. Yeah, I'll give them a little bit today, you know. Give them the whole schmear. Do you love Jesus with your whole heart? Who or what do you love more than Him? My wife told me when she looked at this, you're going to run over. She was right. What will you do this week to turn your heart towards Jesus? What are you going to do? What relationship or activity robs you from living to know Jesus and follow Christ? Is it the television? Is it? See, if you're not giving God your whole heart, there's some place you're deceived by the master deceiver, Satan, and you're robbing God. So, last Sunday night, I sat down and I thought I was going to get to watch Sunday night football, which is really fun for me because unless the Bears are playing, I really don't care. And I just kind of sit there and zone out, eat popcorn and watch, But it's real relaxing because I don't really care. They had Sunday night football on. They had a James Bond movie on, Casino Royale. So I watched James Bond. Julie doesn't like the new James Bond. She liked Pierce Brosnan a lot, but she doesn't like the new guy at all, so I don't get to go to the theater and watch them now. But so I watched it. And it's all a big poker game. And it's this relationship of James Bond is courting this. They don't trust him for some reason. Take several million dollars to a poker game. So they give it to this obviously beautiful brunette with dark eyes. Carry the millions of dollars. He's courting her, chasing after her. And they get into this poker game. And eventually it gets to the final scene where they're all in. And he puts $30 million into the pot. And everybody's all in. That means they got everything betting on the cards that are laying on the table in front of them. And James Bond wins. And a short time later in the movie, he's recovering from an injury in a hospital, and he opens his eyes, and this beautiful girl that he's been courting all of this time is looking him in the face and says, "You can have me. You can have all of me anytime you want, anywhere you want, any way you want." And I sit there and thought, I said, how many guys would like to have a woman do that to him? And then I thought, how would my Lord like it if I would do that to him? If I get right into his face and I said, you can have all of me. You can have all of me anytime you want. You can have all of me anywhere you want, any way you want. I'm all in. I'm betting everything on you. I'm putting it all in. Do you think he'd like that if you'd do that? If you'd ante up everything? Not just giving him a smidgen. Bet the whole thing. Bet your life. Love him like you've always wanted to be loved. What changes are you going to make to enter in and live this moment to the most for the rest of the days of your life? How do your priorities need to change to make that happen? What do you need to do differently? Start now. Start now. Here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Start every day with the Lord, surrendering your life and your plans, your will to Him. Now, if you're anything like me, 20 minutes later, you're going to start over. You'll get to lunch, and all of a sudden you realize, good grief, Lord, I'm doing this in my own strength again, and start over. Surrender it again. If you do that enough, you finally smart enough to where you do it regularly. Make it your goal to rejoice in the Lord throughout the day and give thanks to Him in every situation. So let me summarize. God, we want you to turn our when into now. Because you're going to need help. God, turn my intentions into actions. God, draw me into a love relationship with you that's deeper than what I've ever... Let me ante it all up. Let me give it all to you. Help me to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us first. And Thank you so much for giving us this day. It's the day you made. We're going to stand and sing praises to you in a minute, but put those into our heart. God, take these turning points and help us incorporate them into our life so that we're not living in the past or in the future, but we're living wholly sold out to you now. Take all of those good intentions that we got and turn them into life actions and bless us as we do. Knock down the walls, provide all the protective fire that we need to get there and get there safe. Send ministering angels to walk side by side with us and protect us as we do. God, lead us down paths that each one of us in our church would be one that's sold out to you. So as everybody's got their eyes closed and their heads bowed, if you want to do that, I'm even going to keep my eyes closed. You really want to sell out to Him. You really want to turn, make a commitment to Him by just raising your hand. Nobody's looking around. I even got my eyes closed. But you really want to sell out to Him and you want to say, hey, Lord, here I am. I'm the guy who wants to live now. And I want to live a great life now, looking forward to eternity with you. And I want to turn all those good intentions into actions. Raise your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. Look at me. I volunteer. I want to give you all of my heart. I want to give you all of my assets. And I'm going to do that now. Now put your hands down. Humbly, Lord, move on our good intention to do that. Through the power of your Spirit, transform us into the glory of your Son. And do it in a way that everybody says, what happened to them? Jesus, we pray it in your name. Amen. Stand with us. We're going to